Okay? Question number two tonight. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 3 for a minute. Just spend a couple minutes here anyway. The next question is, what about modest apparel? Lord, if there's any subject in the Bible that is misused and maligned and lied about and misrepresented, modest apparel is. Now, I don't want to get in a big long thing because I'm going to bring you a whole message here. I got a message I just finished writing called Dress to the Nines that I'm going to preach one of these days out of Isaiah chapter 3. But that's just a good place to start. Look in verse 18. And in that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers and the bonnets and the ornaments on the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and nose jewels and apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pin, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. That's all apparel that the women are wearing there. Them ladies are decked out. They are dressed to the nines. And I'm going to bring you a message on that here pretty soon. And God's fixing to take all this away from those people. These ladies that have all this on, God's going to take it from them. But I want you to notice why he's going to take it from them. Look back in verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing they go, making a tinkling with their feet. God wasn't taking all those things in verse 18, 19, and 20 because they were wrong. God was taking those things because the people who were wearing them had a bad heart. They were haughty, high-minded, and wanton. That is, they were flirts. They walked with outstretched necks, mincing, that is, swinging them hips as they go. They had on them tight, sheath-type dresses with splits up the back, up to the cheeks, and they're walking down there with them black hose and the seams down the back of the legs, strutting their stuff, turning everybody's head. That was the problem. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, there's two aspects to modest apparel. And you got to teach a thing for the right reason out of the right place. So let's first go and look at modest apparel where it's taught wrong. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. First Peter chapter 3. I'm in 2 Peter. No wonder that verse didn't look quite right. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 2 would be a good place to start. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be with, let it be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. Now, every time some preacher gets preaching on women wearing modest apparel, he turns to 1 Peter 3, verse 3, or he turns to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. Now back up to Timothy 2, 9. Hold both places. You've got full five fingers. 1 Timothy 2, 9. 1 Timothy 2, 9 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And so every time a preacher wants to get preaching on women wearing short skirts and low tops, showing too much cleavage, too much bosom showing, too much thigh showing, he runs to 1 Timothy 2:9, 1 Peter 3:3, which got nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. Look at 1 Peter 3:3. What's the context? All right. Now look at 1 Timothy 2:9. What's the context? Cost. Modest in both those places has to do with value. costly array. It's not an abomination because it's red. It's not sinful because it's denim. Now, I know churches that preach ladies shouldn't wear denim clothes. Amen. The context in both those passages has to do with the value of the attire worn. Secondly, in those two passages, in neither place does it condemn wearing gold or pearls or costly array. It doesn't say you don't do it. Let me show you something. Look in 1 Peter 3. Now, let's just suppose for a minute that thing there where it said in verse 3, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold. If let's assume for a minute that that's an absolute prohibition against wearing gold or pearls or plaiting your hair. That verse means you can't do it at all. That's the way it's taught. The Church of God and all, those men preached that for years, and their ladies wouldn't wear any jewelry or any makeup or gold, nothing, boy. I mean, they were plain Jane models. They were Chevrolet Bel Airs. I mean, And it was because they were taught that wearing any of those things was immodest and wicked. If that's so, explain to me this last clause here in verse 3. Look in verse 3. Let's see, where am I at? I'm the verse 4, no wonder it don't look right. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel? Does the verse, if it forbids the wearing of gold, if it forbids the plaiting of the hair, then it also forbids putting on clothes? Look at the verse. Now you know perfectly well that's not what it means. So the verse is not saying, ladies, you can't wear any jewelry. It's not saying you can't have a nice hairdo. It's just saying that's not what you ought to be known for. See? Look at verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. See? Your adorning, that is, the thing that you're noticed for, the thing that people pick up on you about, The thing that strikes people first and foremost about you, ought not to be how you look. It ought to be your godly spirit. Look in 2 Timothy 2:9. Same thing over there. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefaced sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. See? So that shouldn't be the adorning. That shouldn't be the thing that brings attention to you. Should not be how you look. That should not be the outstanding characteristic of your person. What should be? Verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. How should you adorn your life, ladies, as a Christian woman? You ought to adorn yourself. People, when you come to mind or when your name is mentioned, they ought not to think about the way you're dressed. They ought to think about your Christian spirit, your Christian attitude, your godliness. They ought to think about your good works, your charity, your faithfulness, your willing to help. You ought to be more known for that than the way you ought to wear your clothes. Even though it's all right to wear gold and pearls and fix your hair, it just not ought to be your trademark. Amen. You ought to be known for being a godly woman before you're known for being a snappy dresser. Now, so most of the preachers that preach on modest apparel, because that's where modest apparel appears there in 1 Timothy 2:9. And so when they talk about modest apparel, what they've got on their mind is them skirts that are right here. Me and my wife were someplace the other week, in a mall or something someplace, and my wife said, look, and she's always doing that. I tell her, don't tell me that. She's always saying, look at that. Look at that. I said, I don't want to look at that. I don't know why she does that. I turn around. She said, look at that. I turn around here, and here's some old girl about 6 foot tall. She was built real good, but boy, I mean, she's an Amazon. But she had on a little leather skirt that she had to stretch to get over her hips. But honest to goodness, if she had on any underwear, it stopped where her underwear did. I mean, that thing, I mean, it wasn't this long. She had about 3.5 foot of leg hanging out of that thing. So, but when those preachers start preaching on modest apparel, that's what they got on their mind. And they're always preaching on them short skirts or them real fitted skirts or them skin-tight breeches, you know, where you can see the pimple on her backside. You wonder how in the world. I used to know what my wife, I didn't know what my wife told me about a lady, that she wore her jeans so tight. Now listen, I'm telling you the truth. She wore her jeans so tight that she would lay down on the bed of a morning and get her husband to button them. And then she would go all day long without going to the ladies' room because she couldn't get her britches back together. It's the truth, ain't it? Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. I mean, people are weird, man. But that's what preacher's talking about. And they preach that out of 1 Timothy 2:9. Well, now, what they ought to preach out of 1 Timothy 2:9 is, don't spend all God's money on clothes. See, the thing in 1 Timothy 2:9, 1 Peter 3:3, is price. And I'm not against you buying expensive clothes or nice jewelry. I don't have any problem with that. I don't think God has any problem with that. God, matter of fact, God's one of the biggest lovers of jewelry in all the Bible. I mean, every time you see God doing something, he decorates it, buddy. God's not against fancy jewelry. But you ought to keep your spending on finery in line with your method or manner of living. And you ought to make sure that you live a Christian life that is so exemplary that even though you dress nice, you're more noticed for your Christ-like spirit and your giving and your good works than you are for the gold necklace around your neck. Amen. Say, preacher, now you're a good one to be preaching that, you know, all the junk your wife's got. I bought all of it for her. But she never robbed God of a tithe one time. I've never had to have a missionary. I go to a Bible conference and I want to give money. I give the money. Right? I never let buying nice things for my wife interfere with giving to God. Not yet, anyway. Now, you say, well, preacher, if you can't preach on modest apparel from 1 Timothy 2:9 or 1 Peter 3:3, then where do you preach on modest apparel? Well, we're preaching on modest apparel in the value of the thing. You can go way overboard on buying expensive clothes. Amen. Or jewelry. And then there's the aspect of modest in the sense of revealing. Shows too much of you. Now, ladies, I'm here to tell you, men like to look at girls. It is the national pastime. So, well, God, I better not catch my husband looking. Well, you better not watch him too close. I wouldn't put you fellas on the spot, and I wouldn't make liars out of you. But there ain't a fella here that don't look at other women. It's just the nature of the beast. The dirty dog is just made that way. Now, I know we work at it, and we're not proud of it, and we try to control it, but don't kid me, if a good-looking baby doll walks by, your eyes don't close, and your mind don't go blank. They're aesthetically beautiful. It's not erotic, it's not sexual, it's not sensual, it's aesthetic. I don't like aesthetic beauty, so I stay off of Oakland Avenue when school's in. That's just the way we are. Men are attracted through the eye gate. They're aroused and stimulated through the eye gate, which means that ladies need to be very careful about what they present to the eye of the men. So a woman ought to dress modestly in the sense that how much does her clothes reveal her? Amen. Now, I know Christian ladies that wouldn't put a pair of britches on for $1 million. And thank goodness for that. I don't think ladies ought to wear slacks. But I want to tell you the honest truth. I don't know that they're any more revealing, and they are certainly less provocative than them, what do you call them fitted skirt things where you got to walk like this? Fitted skirt. Straight skirt. Man, they get them things. I mean, and they're like this, you know. And a little girl's got to walk. I mean, she don't take a 3-inch step. And when she walks, if she's coming at you, you can see that nice flat little tummy and them wide flaring hips. And if she's going away from you, You see that little, you know how girls are put together? Guys aren't made like that, man. Guys are kind of like this. Girls go, their backside is not like ours. And there's something about it that men just go, they like to look. Now, if you put on them skin-tight dresses, it's just as revealing. And sometimes, if you got on a real tight skirt, fitted skirt, and you got a split about that long that comes up just, oh, let's say 2 or 3 inches above your knee here, where you can't really see nothing but you think you might, it's a lot more provocative than a pair of dungarees. Amen. So what you're saying, preacher, they ought to wear loose clothes so that it doesn't hug your anatomy. Your skirts, ladies, ought to be loose enough so that it doesn't show the whole wide world how you're put together. Only fella supposed to know how you're put together is your husband. Amen. And he's got a right to inspect. He can look as long as he wants to, all he wants to. But the rest of the world is not supposed to know how you're put together. And then this upper torso thing, man. I don't know what it is with Christian women that want to put the V down to here. Why you got to show off half your bosom? Don't you know guys like them? I mean, what are you, brain dead or something? You failed biology 101? And then they accentuate them. And then they get them a skirt or a blouse that's too small, and then leave the top open, and you take something that's about the size of a grapefruit and make it look like a football. And they strut around all day long. And you know, listen to me. You know why they do that? They do that to be looked at. They do that to feel sexy or desirable. Now, you think it's funny if you want to. I think it's crying shame. I didn't say that to be funny. Listen, one of the major pastimes of women in America is for women who don't have to work themselves half to death to look like they do. Patted this and patted that and lift this and squash that and I don't know what all they do to them. But you understand the point. Listen, that's not modest apparel. When you overly accentuate any part of your anatomy, it's not modest. I don't care what kind of fabric it is. If it reveals anything above your knees or below your shoulders, there's too much of you showing. Amen. Dumbest thing, I saw a lady here, it's been probably 5 or 6 weeks ago. She must have been 60 years old. So no one, my wife said, look at that. I wouldn't sin half as much if my wife would leave me alone. She said, look at that. I looked over here, there's a little old woman about 60 years old. And so she has got on a pair of the tightest dungarees I've ever seen in my life. Reminds me of that two colored girls that was talking. And one of them said, man, said, these jeans is tighter than my skin. The other said, oh, man, said, can't be tighter than your skin. Said, uh-huh, yes, too. Said, I can sit down in my skin. Said, I can't sit down in these jeans. She had on some tight blue jeans and little old high heel shoes. And that old girl, about 60 years old, man, she's got on a belt. Got her white blouse tucked into her jeans, you know, and got it pulled down and all stuck up and everything. And she got that belt on. She couldn't breathe. I mean, if somebody said take a deep breath, she'd have died. I mean, just she's not modestly attired. If what you wear draws attention to your anatomy, it's immodest. Amen. You ladies ought to wear a dress or a skirt 3 or 4 inches below your knee, preferably middle of the calf. You say, preacher, you got Bible for that? No, I ain't. Sure don't. But I know this. If you get it down about the middle of your calf, when you sit down, your thigh won't show. You won't be sitting on the front pew doing like this. With your... Oh, everybody can't see me, isn't it? Three, 4 inches of material, fix that. Amen. If you get that thing down just a little bit longer, you would have to sit there and pull and tug. You say, well, where do you preach that from? Oh, well, we don't get that out of 1 Timothy. Let me show you where we get that right quick. Let me sift through this right quick and see where that's at. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 7 for a minute. Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7, look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. That is, whores dress peculiar. They dress so that you'll know that they're for sale. The attire of a harlot. You say, well, what is it? It can be anything that draws attention, that clues the opposite sex in to the fact that this lady is for sale. Let me show you. It can be as simple as this. Where's that at? Look in Genesis 38:15. Genesis 38. Let's start in verse 12. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shears and to Timnath, he and his friend Hira the Adamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put off her widow's garments, see, special kind of clothing, special dress for a widow, typically black. She put off her widow's garment and covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath, for she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given unto him the wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot because she covered her face. So this guy comes along there and he sees this lady sitting by the side of the road in the middle of the day, which ladies didn't do, wrapped up so you couldn't identify her, which most women didn't do, and with a veil across her face, which honest women didn't have to wear. And so he said, because of the way she's dressed, and because of where she's at, and the time that she's there, that's a whore. And so he comes up and he said, what must I give thee to come in? And then she said, give me a kid out of the flocks by and by. And he said, okay, I'll leave you my staff and my bracelets until I send you the goat. And she said, okay. And he went in with unto her and lay with her, and she conceived. He bought her. Now, what was the thing that stirred this man's mind to think that this woman was for sale? Well, she had on the attire of a harlot. So what's the attire of a harlot in 1995? Short skirt, splits, slits, accentuation of the breast, painted face, over accentuation of the female parts of your body. Now you say, well, preacher, that's the way everybody dresses. No, no, you don't think so. You go down to Hollywood and Vine or to Tryon Street in Charlotte or Chicago or to any major airport and watch the hookers and see if that ain't how they dress. You go down on them streets, around them bus terminals, around them airports, around them hotel things, and you can spot the hookers as far away as you can see them. How do you spot them? The way they dress, man. Where they're at and the time of day they're there. You know what's sad? Is a lot of the dress and the apparel that them hookers wear, you see women wearing on the street all the time. How many ladies you seen lately running around with them skin tight breeches on and tight fitting shirts and sweaters? Short skirts, splits in the back or splits in the front. I hate them ladies that wear them wraparound skirts. Especially when they're about one size too small. I never have seen nothing, but I've looked a lot of times. So have you. It's just something catches your eye. You see her sit down, you see that skirt starting to fall open, your head will turn. That's not modest apparel. Now listen, why paint yourself up and dress yourself up and carry yourself like a harlot if you ain't? We ought to dress like ladies professing godliness in modest apparel, not just in expense, but it ought to cover our body. Amen. Now listen, take your Bible, turn to Isaiah. Oh, let me see, where is this at? At 47? Look at Isaiah 47. Come down and sit in the dust, Isaiah 47:1. Come down, sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For that, now listen, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Why aren't they going to be called tender and delicate? Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh. They're not called tender and delicate anymore because they let their hair down, they uncovered their leg, and they made bare the thigh. Can you imagine a Christian woman running around with shorts on? Where's your thigh? Anybody know anything about anatomy? Thigh bone's the longest bone in the body. It goes from the middle of the kneecap to the hip. Now, you're not supposed to uncover the thigh. Ladies, you're not supposed to uncover your thigh. You're not supposed to make bare the leg, which goes from the ankle to the middle of the kneecap from the ground up. You gotta have your legs covered. But you're supposed to certainly not uncover the thigh. If your skirt, your dress, your shorts are above your knee, you're naked. Your thigh is exposed. And God said they'll no longer be called tender and delicate because they uncovered the leg, they made bare the thigh. You know, it gets awful hard for a woman to blush and to be modest when she continually, habitually exposes her body. Now, in the 1800s, the ladies wore dresses down to their ankles. And do you know men used to get excited and turn? I've read bunches of books about a man who would be out on the plains for 3 months in the wintertime, dogging the cattle, you know. And the whole time he's riding in the saddle, he's sitting there half asleep. You know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about that day back there in Dodge, when old sister so-and-so stepped down off sister so-and-so stepped down off the plank porch and lifted her skirts so she wouldn't get him in the mud, and he saw her ankles. And that guy's still daydreaming about that. He said, that's stupid. Not if that's all a fella ever saw. Now, he's not interested in your lower leg. He wants you to run around in a bikini. If you go down to Myrtle Beach anymore, they want you to wear a thong. Can you imagine you can't call women who will run around in public dressed like that tender or delicate. Can you? My wife wears more clothes than that taking a shower. Well, almost. You ladies need to be mighty careful about what you wear and how it looks. You say, well, I think it looks nice. The most disgusting thing I ever heard in my life is as a Christian woman talking to another Christian woman or to some man and saying, don't I look sexy? The last thing on God's earth you're supposed to look in public is sexy. Amen. Now, if you want to be sexy, you go down to Frederick's, Hollywood, get you all that junk down there you want. I just buy you a bunch of it, and you go back home, you go in the house, bolt the bedroom door, get your husband in there, pop him up on the bed, and just wear it to your heart's content. I mean, have a ball. Marriage is honorable in all the bed thereof and the fire. Have a time. Enjoy yourself. Don't look like a whore. There's the place right there, buddy. But when you come out of that room and out of that house, you look like a lady. Hey, well, so much there's for modest apparel. Now, what's the next question? Have I got any time left? I don't? Gosh, I'm sorry. What was the next question? Let me see here. Do I? Yeah, I did, I guess. Oh, well, next week we're going to talk about a couple of things.